Well, good morning, friends. You're tuned into Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And as you've just heard, this show is called The Ministry in Me. And I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster. And it's such a joy to spend this next half hour with you, considering ways in which you can use your life and everything that you do as an act of ministry and worship in order to honor God and bless the world around you and find fulfillment and joy in everything that you do. And just want to start the show by saying thank you very much to every single person who sent me emails over the last couple of weeks. It's always such a blessing and an encouragement to hear from you. And I love to be able to respond when I have an opportunity to do so. And 2 weeks ago, our program on servanthood got such a wonderful response. I was literally flooded with emails. And thank you very much for the encouragement. And of course, I would encourage you to get copies of that program if it meant something to you and share it with your friends and family and use it to bless and encourage others. As you know, all of the programs are available through Radio Pulpit, and you can either call the office number of Radio Pulpit or you can go onto the website www.radiopulpit.co.za. And you can order the programs from there. But if you'd like to drop me an email, I always look forward to hearing from the listeners. And maybe you've got a question or a prayer request or some thought that you'd like to share, and you can do so by sending an email to digitaldion@gmail.com. And that's spelled digitaldion@gmail.com. So digitaldion, Dion with an I, @gmail.com. Now, today I'm wanting to speak about a subject that I think most of us will find very, very enlightening and enlivening, particularly as we approach Pentecost this Sunday, and I want to say a bit more about that in a moment, particularly as it's Global Day of Prayer coming up. But I want to speak about learning to love the unlovely, the lost, the lost, and the lonely, and how we can use our lives in order to do the very thing that Jesus came to do. Now, I read a wonderful little story recently about a little boy who was accompanying his pregnant mom to the gynecologist's office. And when they were sitting there, his mother heaved a huge sigh and clutched her stomach. And her son looked a little bit alarmed. And he said, "Mommy, what is it?" he asked. And she said to him, "The baby brother that we're going to have that's inside mommy's tummy is kicking me." The little boy looked at his mom for a moment. And then he said, "Mommy, he's probably bored like me. Why don't you swallow a toy?" I thought that was just such a beautiful little story. But you know, it illustrates something, that it's not always that easy to be hurt by those whom you love. And when we read in the Bible, 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, it clearly says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so the question that we need to start with today is to ask ourselves, how reflective is our love, the love that we have for people around us, of our knowledge of God? You see, the truth is that if you're listening in today, there probably has been a time in your life where you've been through a difficult situation, perhaps been hurt by someone that you love or let down, or maybe you still live with a person who hurts you in ways that you find it difficult to deal with. Do you know, there's another command of Christ that's so clear, and it comes to us from John chapter 13 verse 34, and Jesus simply says, "Love one another." In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, which I referred to earlier, 1 John 4 verse 12, it says, "If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us, if we love one another. You know, I found another wonderful little quote this week while I was preparing for today's time with you here on the radio. And it comes from one of my favorite authors, a guy called Brian Tracy. And Brian Tracy says that most of our happiness will come from our relationships with others. And because of that, we need to handle those relationships with care. You know, friends, that is so true. I don't know about you, but it certainly is true for me. Most of my happiness comes from the relationship that I have with others, whether they're people who are close to me or whether they're acquaintances or people that I work with. And so today I want to spend a little bit of time speaking to you about the ministry of learning to be real in your love. A love that is not only transformative of your relationships with others, so bringing you happiness and joy and contentment and peace, but a love that will truly allow you to reflect God's love so that God can live within you and His love can be made complete in all your actions. Now, let me ask you, have you ever wondered what it would be like to have God's love made complete in you? Can you imagine how awesome it would be to have the blessing and security and serenity of a life that comes from having the fullness of God's love in your life? Can you imagine what an incredible impact such a powerful life of love would have on those around you? Think about your family, your husband or your wife, your children, your parents, your friends. Imagine how powerful it would be if you could love them with God's love. How transformed your relationships would be, and how much joy and blessing that would bring to those around you. Surely, friends, that is a ministry that we can do wherever we are, whether it's in our home or our workplace, and yes, even in the church. We can allow God's love to be born within us and truly learn to love every person to the glory of God and the transformation of the world. Well, today I want to share with you just three aspects about this kind of love. And the first thing that I want to say about true love is that true love comes from God. Now, this is the first thing that we need to learn about real love, is that it's not just a simple emotion. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's not just something warm and nice. Rather, it comes from an intimate relationship with God. God is the one who truly is love. We are told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. Now, if we accept this to be true, then it would mean a couple of things for us as Christians. Now, here's what I want you to listen to. The first thing that we need to learn is that we have to be in a living, loving relationship with God in order to experience true love, and from that experience to share it with others. You know that there's no possible way to have any true form of love without being in a relationship with God. People who try to base their love only on other things such as attraction or compatibility or common interests may find that after some time they're sorely disappointed. You see, the simple truth is that these aspects of human being are volatile and they're subject to change as circumstances change. I can't tell you how often I've met people who have expressed the fear of losing their love for a partner or a child or a friend because their love is based on the wrong things. It's based on a changing human characteristic or a feeling or an emotion. Perhaps that's why we are told in 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, whoever lives in love lives in God. So if your love is based on anything other than a deep and committed relationship with God, then I want to say to you today, be careful, because it's on shaky ground. You know, when I counsel couples for marriage, I often challenge them on this particular aspect. I'm surprised that couples will feel that they can love one another in order to be bold enough to be sexually intimate. You know, they'll share their bodies with one another, yet they're too embarrassed to grow together to be spiritually intimate. Isn't that a sad thing, that we would be willing to share our bodies but not our spirits? Friends, true love comes from a true relationship with God. And if you want love in your relationship, then you need to bring it before God, and that will drive out all fear. Isn't it interesting to note what 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. And verse 7 says, love comes from God. So that's the first thing I want to challenge you with as a Christian. If you want God's love to be brought into a real relationship with friends, with family, in your workplace, you need to bring God into the center of that relationship. The second thing that we learn about this true love is that true love always follows the example of Jesus Christ. Now, if God is love, then we can see how we should love by looking at Jesus. So God is love, and Jesus expresses that. He lives it out in the example of how Jesus loves people around him and loves God. Now, above all else, we can see that Jesus' love was for a very particular group in society. Jesus was a person who lived not only for the lovely, but think about this for a moment. Jesus specifically sought to love the unlovely in society. He was a person who came to seek the lost, to seek the lost, and to care for the lonely. Now, sadly, friends, I've come to discover for myself, and I don't know about you whether this is the same for you, but I tend to find it far easier to love the successful and the impressive. Now, let me ask you the question, who do you love most? You see, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus' love was for the outcasts, the needy, and the lonely in our society. And if our love is different from His, then I want to say we've got a problem. Because Jesus is our example of how God loves. Now remember, it's only when we love like Jesus loved that we begin to see God's love made complete in us. And I want to ask you, how much of your energy is directed at the lovely? How much is directed at the lost and the lonely in comparison? In fact, when we read Matthew 25 verse 14, we hear that whenever Jesus loved, He loved one of the least, just as He loved Himself. And remember, true love must follow the example of Jesus Christ. So we have the two central characteristics that are of God's love. Number one, we need to bring God into the center of all relationships that we want to have exposed to God's love. And number two, we also need to bring people on the margins into the center of God's love. The lost, and the lonely. And so the first question that I want to ask you today is, have you got true love in your relationships with those around you? Have you got God's love, or is your love based on something else? The second thing that we recognize about true love, love that transforms and heals and binds together, the kind of love that drives out fear, the kind of love that forms the basis of a real ministry, is that true love is sacrificial. And we know this because Jesus shows it to us. This is the second thing. Now, if our love is the kind of love that Jesus had, then we need to recognize that it doesn't come cheaply and it doesn't come easily. You know, for Jesus to show His love for us, He had to pay the greatest price that any living person can pay. Jesus gave His life. You know, we are told in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Then it goes on to say, this is love. Go and read that. 1 John 4 verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent us His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus' love was always sacrificial. It was always worth so much more than those whom He loved because it cost Him so much to give it. Now, I want to say, unfortunately, we live in a society that has become obsessed with self-gratification, with what I can get out of things rather than what I can give others and bless them with. We always tend to ask the question, what's in this for me? You know, I read a wonderful quote from Lyle Lowndes just recently, who said, there are two kinds of people in life. Those who walk into a room and say, well, here I am. And those who walk into a room and say, ah, there you are. He goes on to say, let us strive to be the kind of people that say, ah, there you are. You see, the reality is Jesus was that kind of person. He wouldn't ask what's in it for Him. Rather, when Jesus came into the world, He asked, what is in it for you? Remember Jesus' last words on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And when we look at the example of Jesus, we see that true love is only sacrificial. It cannot be any other way. Look at what the Bible says. It says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He first loved us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 puts it differently. It says, this is how God demonstrated His love to us. While we were still sinners, Christ came into the world to save us from our sin. You see, the very central tenet of Christ's love is sacrifice. And if that's how Jesus lived, how much more should we hope to live in the same way? Jesus once remarked on the easy kind of love that was so common, even in his day, and is certainly common in our day. And you can read about it in Matthew 5, verses 46 to 48. He says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?" Then he goes on to say, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father is perfect." Notice in this section that Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." This is not a request. It's not a maybe. This is a clear command to you and I as believers. We have to be perfect. And perfect in doing what? Well, we have to be perfect in loving in the way that God loves, by loving sacrificially, by paying the costly price to show love to those around us who may not love us in return. You see, at the end of the day, that's what Jesus did. By being the first ones to love, by loving without expecting anything in return. Jesus came into the world to love those who may never have loved him. And so you have to ask yourself today, how loving have you been towards others? And how sacrificial has your love been for the people around you? Is your love perfect as God's love is perfect? Is your love sacrificial? Or is your love often like mine is, I'm sorry to say, cheap and easy, costing very little? What sacrifices are you making to show the people who you truly want to love that you love them? Fathers, what time are you spending with your children and your wife? Sacrificial time, not meeting your own needs, but meeting theirs. Wives, what are you doing to bless your husbands and to bless the community around you? I want to ask all of you, what are you doing to sacrificially show real, practical love to those whom you work with? Remember, in order to truly love others is always going to be difficult. Jesus showed us that by example. But this is the only true way in which we can show love. Now, I briefly mentioned that true love needs to be practical. And you know, that's the third point that we need to concentrate on today. Not only is true love from God, and so we need to bring God into all situations where we want love to be present. And not only is it sacrificial, because that's what Jesus teaches us, but true love is practical. Now, in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we can see how practical it is, because it tells us that God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There was a problem, and so God found a way to lovingly give us a solution. And this is the next thing that we learn. When Jesus made a sacrifice to show us his love, he did it so that we could be changed, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be restored in a right relationship with God. After all, that's the reason why we are in a relationship with God, to restore and deepen our relationship with him. The word atoning used in this passage means to make right or to repair the damage that has been done, to seek to rectify a relationship that had been broken. To go back to the story that we started with in the message today, what toy do you need to swallow to show your love and make your relationship right with the lost and the last and the lonely? You see, when Jesus remarks in Matthew 25, "Whatever you have done for the least of one of these, you have done for me," Jesus is talking about practical things for displaying love. Do you remember he was talking about clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and caring for the poor? Can you see that Jesus used those very practical examples? Feeding, clothing, caring. And so Jesus gives us a clear teaching how we should love those who are the lost and the lonely. And I can guarantee you that there are a few of those people very close to you. They may be in your family. They may be in your office. In fact, they may even be in your home. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says this, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Now, here are some pearls of wisdom, practical ways in which we can love others. And I want to encourage you, make a little note of these three things and see if you can learn from them. The first thing that Jesus says in verse 28 of Luke 6 is he says we can love by our words. It says, bless those who curse you. You know, we can show love to difficult people by replying to insults with compliments. And it's usually possible to find something positive to say, even to the most negative of person. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And I can guarantee you that if you follow the example and teaching of Jesus by giving a gracious reply to a rude and aggressive comment, you may turn your enemy into a lifelong friend. People often act that way because they're finding themselves under pressure or under threat. And you can turn your enemy into a friend by replying to them in the way in which God would reply to them. Now remember what we said first, this is going to take prayer. You need to bring God into those difficult situations. So if it's a child or a husband or a wife or a difficult colleague or a parent, pray about it and ask God to give you the opportunity to bless them with your words. Don't stoop to their level, but return their anger with kindness. Your words can transform the situation and be an act of love. The second thing that we read in verse 27 is we read of Luke chapter 6 verse 27 that we can love others by our deeds. Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. Now this is the first thing that we need to do to show a good deed, is to follow the sacrificial example of Jesus Christ by showing love. Now this may mean something like forgiving someone else's sin against you, but it's probably more likely that you're going to need to find something practical that you can do in order to bless them and transform the situation. You know, doing good involves more than just an emotion. In Proverbs 25 verse 21 it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. I want to challenge you, friends, by saying that you can really be used by God to transform others by blessing them and showing them love. You know, there have been many situations where I've been faced with difficult people or difficult situations, and I've prayed and said, Lord, show me how to be a practical agent of love here. Show me how to just bring a meal to someone who may not be relating to me so well, an extra sandwich to work. Show me, Lord God, how to bless the lady who serves me at the counter of the grocery store who may be having a rough day by just leaving something behind and saying, you know what, bless you, I've bought this, I want you to have it. Show me, Lord God, how to do something practical to love them like you would love them. And then the third thing that Jesus says is not only can we love by our words and not only can we love by our deeds, but Jesus says we can show our love by our prayers. We read in Matthew 5 verse 44, pray for those who persecute you. You know, I often say to friends that we need to learn to speak to God about the lost before we speak to the lost about God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Christian who was killed by the Nazis for his opposition to Adolf Hitler, once remarked, through the medium of prayer we go to our enemy. We stand by his side and we plead to God for him. For if we pray for them, we are taking their distress and poverty, their guilt and perdition upon ourselves, and we are pleading to God for them. Now I want to say, prayer is an acid test of whether we truly have love for someone or not. When we bring it into the light of God and stand before God and say, Lord, here is this person whom I'm struggling to love, the lost, or the lonely, then we can truly test the sincerity of our love and emotions for them. One of the most moving examples of this is Bishop Dengani Tafti, who was murdered for standing for Jesus Christ. And he used his prayer for others as an opportunity to transform a whole community. So friends, today I think we've heard a message that we need to find ways to love people, not just with the superficial things that we do, but we have to love God and love those around us with everything in us. We've heard that love is not always easy, and in fact, that true love comes from a deep and sincere relationship with God. And if we want our relationships to be loving, we need to bring God into the center of them. We also learned that we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and so love will be sacrificial. And lastly, we were encouraged to love in practical and real ways, because real love always transforms. So to come back to our question at the start today, if you think about the relationships around you and about those who may hurt you with some of the things they say or do, what toy do you need to swallow in order to bring real love into that relationship today? Friends, I want to tell you that God longs for your relationships to be healed and for you not only to find blessing in them, but to bring blessing to them. And so my prayer for you today is that you will have the ministry of love as a primary ministry in your life, that you will exercise it at every single opportunity. Well, friends, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and the show is The Ministry in Me. What a great joy it is to be with you again today. And please do drop me an email if you would like to share a prayer request with me, or if you'd like to just make contact to say hi. You can do so at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. Or you can go to the Radio Pulpit website and contact us through www.radiopulpit.co.za. Now, as a final word, I want to encourage you this Sunday, the 31st of May, which is Pentecost Sunday, more than 400 million Christians across the world are going to be participating in the Global Day of Prayer. You may remember that this was started by a Christian businessman, a South African in Cape Town, Graham Power. And over the last 9 years, it's spread throughout the whole world. In fact, this year in 2009, for the first time, every single one of the world's 220 nations will participate in the Global Day of Prayer. And I want to encourage you, go to their website, www.globaldayofprayer.com, and download the Prayer for the Nations. Include it in your Sunday service. Encourage your pastor to pray it. Pray it with your family, and why not join the 400 million plus Christians this Pentecost Sunday in praying for the needs of our world? You know, that's the beginning of true love. Well, thanks for listening in. This has been The Ministry and Me on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning.